And this is Annalisa Lukes, your chair for this committee. This is the Orange County Workforce Development Board Business Services Committee meeting. This is the Q3 2021, our third of four meetings in 2021. Thank you all for being here. I trust everybody's had a chance to review the agenda. We're going to have some informational items and then an open discussion to support the work of the board. Before we get started though, let's go ahead and take a pledge of allegiance. And I believe we're gonna have a flag on camera.
Small here.
Just need to rotate it. There we go. All right, let's go ahead and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So we're now on item three of the agenda. We're gonna go ahead and do a board member roll call.
Okay, so please let me know that you're present when I call your name. Gloria Alvarado. Jesse Benron.
Here.
Larray Holland-Lees.
Here.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Here.
Annalisa Lukes.
Present.
Ernesto Medrano. Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon. I see you. There you go. Todd Sward. Mike Daniel.
Here.
Kathy Boyd. We do have six. There is a form.
Thank you so much, Adriana. We're at item four, public comment, 3 minutes per speaker. Are there any public speakers or anybody who's requested to speak at this time?
You can indicate that by go ahead and raising your hand or hitting star nine if you're calling in. Let's see, where are all my windows? Make sure I'm sharing my screen. Okay. I don't believe I see any hand raised at this time.
Okay. Thank you so much, Adriana. So seeing no public comments. Oh, hang on. FYI, Terry Hollingsworth just chatted. She will need to drop off at 10:30 for another call. Thank you, Terry. Let's go ahead and move on to the informational items, items five through nine. Let's start off with item five, business surveys, 5A job fairs.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to turn it over to Anthony Rafik to do a presentation on the survey results that we received for both the job fair and CalJob surveys. Anthony, if you could.
Let's see if I should. I will promote you to panelist. Okay, Anthony, let me stop sharing here. And you should be able to share your screen now. Anthony, if you'd like, if you need some assistance. Go. Oh, you got it? Okay, great.
All right. And then your camera's also off as well.
All right, there we go. Good morning, everyone. This morning I'll be presenting. First, let me start with our job fairs. Everybody can see my screen, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right, so in summary, between the period of April 1 and June 31, we hosted, County of Orange hosted 3 job fairs. We talked about District 5 job fair, which happened on April 7th. On May 5th, we hosted the District 4 job fair, and June 23rd, District 2. On June 9th, the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce and the City of Anaheim hosted their job fairs. In total, we had 247 businesses, individual businesses who attended those job fairs. We had 1,310 individual job seekers attend multiple of these job fairs. There were 6,624 jobs posted and 2,345 resumes submitted. In terms of each job fair. So at the last meeting, we talked about the D5. We had 867 job seekers, 156 employers, and the unemployment rate at the time was 8.3%. In May, when we hosted the D4 job fair, we had 87 employers present, 311 job seekers registering for the event, and the unemployment rate was the same at 8.3%. For the D2 job fair, we also had 87 employers registered, 175 job seekers, and the unemployment rate dropped to 7.9%. And in June, when Anaheim hosted their job fair, there were 77 employers, 270 job seekers, and the unemployment rate was at 7.9%. We analyzed the data a little further to see, to give an insight as to the kinds of businesses or the sectors that were there by cluster. What we found is that 14% was in hospitality, in the large chunks, 17% healthcare, government work 16%, and the armed forces 18. Those were the big chunks. And we dealt a little further into that. Now, in terms of the healthcare industry, we had 17%, it was 1,098 jobs posted for the healthcare industry. And we found that 20% of those jobs were for senior living or care jobs. 30% were for hospital and medical centers, and 20% in medical manufacturing. Top three employers included Applied Medical, Providence Health, and Quest Health Connect. For hospitality, we had, while it accounted for 14% of the industry, there were 956 jobs. 27% of those jobs were with hotels and resorts, and 62% of those were with event services and management companies. And these included companies like Allied Universal Event Services, Bon Appetit Management Company, and the Pasea Hotel and Spa. Government work, 1,051 jobs were posted in this industry cluster, and 61% of them represented the schools or education system, I should say. And notable employers included UC Irvine, Goodwill of Orange County, and Anaheim Family YMCA. The security and armed forces, over 1,200 jobs were posted. The National Guard, and these are like the National Guard, Custom and Border Patrol, and the Army were notable employers in this industry cluster. Financial services, a lot of the jobs were in the mortgage space, 61% accounted for them. And these included companies like Uptown Financial, Network Capital Funding, and the Village Management Services. All right. Now, we also wanted to analyze where do we see job seekers expressing an interest as against where the industry was going. In this analysis, you can see it's a little bit of an inverse relationship. And here you would see while 18% of the jobs were in the armed forces, just 2% of the candidates who were applying applied for jobs in that field. You found while 8% of the jobs were in financial services, most of the candidates were submitting applications for those jobs. Another notable one would be in retail space. A lot of the candidates, 12% of the jobs were there, and almost 18% of the candidates were applying for those jobs. What remained constant is jobs across healthcare, government. A lot of the candidates were submitting applications in those fields. At the end of all the job fairs, we sent out surveys to both employers and participants. job seekers, what we found is that overall employers, there was a 67% satisfaction in the conduct of our surveys. We asked employers how did they feel about the hiring prospects. Were they good hiring prospects? We have a 65% satisfaction rate in finding good candidates. Employer feedback in terms of will they repeat again? Were they satisfied with staff assistance, use of the platform and organization? There is a 83% satisfaction across the board. In terms of job seeker feedback, there's a 52% satisfaction for job seekers with our job fairs. How did they find 82% of the candidates felt that the platform, the job fair platform was easy to use? And we also asked them how they felt about participating again, staff assistance and organizing the event, and 86% satisfaction across the board. And from our last meeting, the committee had asked for us to find out how effective is our job fairs. So what we did, we ventured to contacting all the businesses, and we sent out a survey to all our job seekers to find out who actually got a job. Based on the response, we had 182 job seekers responded to our survey. What we found is that about 9% of the 182 were hired. About 3% are still awaiting feedback. 75% did not find a job. And the other 12% gives reasons as to why they could not attend or attend the job fair or were not connected for an interview. And that's a summary of where we are in terms of our job fair. In terms of our business survey results, we sent out our surveys to all business customers. We did not get any responses on our business surveys. As such, I do not have data to present to you today in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. Are there any comments, questions, or feedback?
Yeah, I'm just trying to do some quick math. So, If I'm correct, Anthony, so there were 865 job seekers. Is that correct?
Yes.
And of the 865, 182 responded to the survey?
Yes, 182 responded.
Okay. So my first question is there an opportunity to get a better rate of response from those job seekers? From any thoughts in terms of how to increase the number of responses to those surveys?
At this point, we did send out a reminder to respond to the survey, but we did not get any feedback. It just a marginal increase after we sent a reminder.
So it looks like it's about a 21% response rate.
I was trying to get there to do the calculation.
Yeah. And I don't know if this team has any data as far as what the typical response rates are, but I think it's a fairly good response rate, actually. I think it's usually 10% or less. Any comments about that? Is there any other way that we could increase the responses to surveys besides incentivizing them?
Perhaps maybe when we do the virtual job fair to actually have a survey somehow on the platform, because what's happening is we're waiting till the job fair is over and sending them out. I don't know if there's the ability to do that on the platform right now, but we can certainly talk to Premier Virtual to see if we can incorporate that into the actual platform. We're now transitioning to on-site job fairs. We're in the process of planning one for September. And so on the on-site job fair, we will have surveys on spot, instead of waiting for people to leave. We'll be able to do it as you exit the job fair. We'll ask you to provide us with a quick survey response on your experience. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we just lose people because of the excitement of participating in the job fair. And then once you've done it, you're kind of over, you know, you're not inclined to send anything back or to do any additional work because you've now participated, you've received what you needed from it. So we'll certainly see if there that is an option to put it on the platform, and then we'll try it out actually doing it at the actual job fair on site.
And that's on the participant or job seeker side. I suppose we can use the same thing for the business partners or the businesses who participate. Is there any other carrot or stick that we could offer so as to at least get some response on that end of it? I think, Anthony, I heard you say that none of them responded. Is that right? None of the businesses responded?
None of the businesses responded to our business surveys, nor when we were trying to contact employers to find out how many candidates they hired, they presented three challenges. The first challenge is the person who's hiring at the event or the person who's present at the job fair was not the person who's carrying out the entire process of getting the candidates on board. So they were not aware. There's also the challenge we spent almost 2 months trying, reaching out constantly to employers where they're not sure where candidates are. They're still waiting for feedback. And so there was a disjoint in trying to or gathering from the business standpoint, how many people they hired. And getting onto human resources also presented a challenge as they were very much, I should say, did not want to share much information on candidates that they were hiring. Mm-hmm. So that was the challenge. So we were really hoping that from the job seeker side, we could have had more responses. So I did send out a reminder survey, but yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for adding that data, by the way, that we asked for last time. Appreciate it. Any other comments, questions, or feedback regarding the job fair survey?
Yeah, no, so this is Jesse. I guess one is, do we have an understanding of kind of why people couldn't find jobs, or there's just a mismatch between, you know, skills or educational attainment and the jobs being offered? Were like, was the compensation too low for some of these people? Because it was something like 70 something percent. Do we have an understanding of kind of why, or maybe it's just too premature because the job process, recruitment process takes longer, as to why that number, I guess, is so high?
No, I don't have that information right now.
Okay. Is that something that do the people on this committee can think we should pursue? Because that's like essentially one is there's more jobs than job participants, and then the job participants who do participate, at least for now, aren't getting jobs, which is kind of ultimately the objective. So we kind of have to crack that nut in some way, right?
I would support that.
Jesse, my question is, where we're not getting feedback from the employers, that's honestly a question that we really need from the employer side is, did we introduce you to enough qualified candidates? Because on the end of the candidates, of course, they believe they were qualified for the positions, right? And so they applied. But if we're not getting feedback from the employer side, it's really hard for us to gauge if that is the matter, if it's not enough qualified candidates, if it is the hiring process. I don't know unless the employers give us feedback.
Okay, so then what we do, so those people definitely applied, right? So that's a certainty that the job seeker applied for the job, and then it's really the employer who's not following up, or do we?
So Anthony, go back. I think it was like 22,000. Can you go back to the applicant at the it's the first.
There we go.
So there were 2,345 resumes submitted. Now, keep in mind that that resume is multiplied because it's how many resumes you submitted total, right? So if you only had 800 job seekers, that means they've submitted their resumes multiple times for different positions, right? So you are receiving, we are getting applications submitted to employers. What I don't know is that when employers went through those applications, if they thought the candidate was qualified enough to take on the next step.
Yeah, I would say in that slide where you had again like 8%, but I think 8% got employed, some are still in the process, and that's 70%. But that data set are people who actually applied. So you had no jobs, like how many job seekers went to the job fair and it just like whatever, like the jobs weren't what they expected, or they couldn't find an employer that interests them, or in that survey, you surveyed the job seekers who actually applied for work.
So those are the job seekers that responded. So remember, 800 went, but only 100 and something responded back, right? So of the 100 and something responded back, this is their story, right? So they said, go back to that screen, Anthony. of the 100 and something that actually replied back to our survey, this is what they said they experienced. So this was their outcome. It's not from the employer's perspective, it's from the job seeker's perspective.
Correct. I would say, sorry, in the survey, was there a question of at least of, did you at least apply for a job? Right, because you could go and then it's, okay. And some people could may not apply whatsoever, right? So then of course, if they never applied, then the answer is no, I didn't find a job, right? I mean, but if this is of the 182, all of them applied, yes, it's not the whole job seeker pool, but it's still, I think, significant enough at 20% to where, you know, three quarters still aren't finding work at this point.
Anthony, did we ask the question, did you apply for any positions at our job fair?
All these surveys that went out, the candidate at least submitted one resume.
So okay. They did apply?
Yes, they did apply,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough, thank you.
Yeah. I think it might be helpful at some point for the business group to take a look at the survey, because it sort of feels like, you know, we don't know what questions were asked. And I think if we were able to get maybe a copy of the survey, that might help us understand a little bit more on what data is being collected.
Okay, we can send that out today. Lorraine has her hand up and I don't want to be rude.
Oh, that's okay. Excuse me. I'm just wondering if, you know, you are going to be implementing any changes based on the feedback, both from the participants and from the business side for the September job fair.
Well, the September job fair is face-to-face. So this is the virtual platform. So it's a little bit different, right? I think that when we do get feedback from the surveys, we will change what we do. So if they're saying that they didn't have a good experience or here's ways we can improve, we'll definitely take that into consideration in future events. I don't know how we'll use the feedback from this for the face-to-face job fair. But what I would like to do is send the committee all of our questions and have you guys take a look at it and give us some recommendations so that by the time we do have another job fair, we'll have your feedback and maybe asking questions that are more in alignment with where you think we should go.
Okay. And I will just say that, and just, you know, one small business in Orange County, our recruiters are so overwhelmed right now with the number of positions that we have at, you know, again, just one company, that I think that has a lot to do with why people aren't answering the surveys. They're just trying to get candidates in the door. They're trying to process all the job recs. I know we have over 300 jobs right now at our company, and we have four recruiters. So if others are doing what we're doing right now, I think that's probably the basis for the lack of participation.
I agree. Just one more comment regarding the lack of response from businesses. Do you would you say that most of the businesses that attend participate in the job fair are repeat businesses in general?
We've had some repeats. Now, keep in mind, several of the job fairs were done based off of supervisors and districts, right? So even though they were based on supervisors and district, we did have repeats. Like I'll give you an example. Allied Medical repeated in multiple job fairs. So we do have that, but it's not always the case.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we're not able to get a response from businesses at the conclusion of each job fair, for those repeat businesses coming back in, is there a way to capture information from them, you know, during the, you know, what, you know, when we're bringing them on to the next job fair?
That's a good idea. What I think I'll do, because what we advertise to the businesses is free to participate, right? That we only ask you to share it on social media. So I think what I need to also do is that your commitment also includes completing a survey, which we didn't say before, but now that you say that, I can go ahead and add that to the list of the requirements to participate in this free platform. So I will do that. And keep in mind that the September job fair will also be free to businesses too. We're going to 100% pay for the tables and chairs and everything that's associated with having an in-house job fair. So another advantage for a business to participate in it is that it is free, but then we'll make the requirement to, of course, complete the survey.
Yep. That's where I was going with that. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you all for your feedback and questions and comments. Let's go ahead and move on to item 5B, CalJobs survey.
On the CalJobs survey, we did distribute the surveys and we did not get any response from any of the businesses for our CalJobs surveys for the last quarter. Mm. So I do not have any data to present on business customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know whether response rates to surveys has any type of impact on our ability to get funding or any other types of support.
Not at this time, but remember, part of the WIOA performance requirement is successfully engaging with businesses, right, and market penetration. So at this time, no, but in the future, it will be once the state starts engaging with us. Hopefully, they don't use necessarily the same survey results, but the repeat interactions with businesses. So for example, the businesses that use this for OJTs, that they repeat using us for OJTs, that they take that into consideration, that that business keeps coming back, or participating in hiring events, that a business repeats participating in hiring events with us. I'm hoping the state uses that strategy. I don't know yet, but once they do, I'll definitely share with the board so that you guys can help us strategically come up with a game plan to ensure that we're collecting the right data so that we get ahead of performance when it comes to serving businesses.
And Anthony, how many businesses did the survey go to?
So far, 22 in-house businesses that we have engaged.
Okay.
Yes. And then can you explain what you mean by that? Because I want to make sure they understand. So there is in CalJobs where a business can go into CalJobs and set up their own profile and do their own hiring, right? So there's that part of CalJobs with Orange County. Then there's a part of where our staff engages with the business that we go out to them and offer them either an OJT or a work experience or participation in a hiring event or assistance with filling jobs. So that's the other side of it. So Anthony, can you please explain what you mean by the 22?
These are the 22 that we have engaged through the OJTs that we are reaching out to build that relationship. And this is being done in-house with our in-house team. Those are the businesses that we sent out the surveys to. And we did not get any feedback from anyone. And I think it's since we're now building our business unit, I think it's also fairly new. And it will take us some time to start getting those responses. And it's how we build that relationship over time that I think people will start engaging. The department is just creating the business services unit, our solutions unit just came in about 4 months ago. So it is a fairly new unit. So I think that may also be one of the reasons why the response to surveys are, zero. Mm-hmm. So I think over time we will get feedback on that as we build those relationships.
Okay, I've got some thoughts as well. Any other comments and feedback from others though? So I believe it was last quarter we talked about the notion, or it wasn't really a formulated idea, but the concept of possibly or potentially doing an open house, for lack of a better word. I'm curious to know if it might make sense to not necessarily have an all-out type of an event, but some kind of an engagement conversation with these 22 and perhaps even going back to the job fairs participants, have them either on Zoom or in person 1 hour. And I don't know what questions we would ask, we'd have to look at the survey, but some kind of an engagement event. And we would have to design and think about what that might look like.
And Lisa, can I throw two things out there? So one, my team is working on open house. So we are trying to coordinate an open house end of September, early October. And what we're trying to do is coordinate it for a week for two purposes. One, to provide information in the community that we exist and what we do. So if there are service providers or mom and pops that want to provide service to our participants, that they know how to engage with us, like what is the process to do that? And then the second part is where the community can learn more about us, including businesses. So that's one thing that I want to share with you. The second thing is under the regional planning, we've been working with the community colleges to engage with businesses. So we have these industry sector conversations where a lot of the businesses that we are engaging with are invited to participate in that, and we're sharing ideas and information. We're doing that in partnership with the community colleges as well as the other two workforce development boards. So there is a platform for those conversations to try to figure out what's working and what's not working. Okay. I think the difference is it's not the conversation is not based on feedback about your relationship with Orange County, but more about the industry and what do you need from us and what type of programs do you need for us to produce to help your business. Mm-hmm. So there's still room for what you're thinking, but I just wanted to let you know what we have.
Oh, I appreciate that. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you for putting that together. That'll be exciting to see. Okay, any comments or thoughts about item 5B before we move on? Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to item 6, OCWDB, CID Staff Business Solutions Hiring Updates, item A.
Okay, so I'm gonna introduce you to Rhonda Miller. So the way we broke up Business Solutions, we have two parts of the unit. One focuses on hiring. So that's the OJTs, the hiring events, job fairs, creating internships and work experience and assistance with filling jobs. Rhonda Miller's team handles that. We are excited today's Tamiko Thomas's first day. She will handle the other side of Business Solutions, which is the WARN notices, LMI data, customized training events, rapid response, so that there's balance and customized training. So there's balance in our work and people that can really focus on connecting with employers and delivering our services. With that said, I just wanted to kind of give you guys an overlook of the structure. I'm going to turn it over to Rhonda to talk about what she's been doing since she's been here. So Rhonda, can you give them an update on the hiring side of the business?
Yes, absolutely. I've got a Adriana, did you want to pull that up?
Sure. I'll go ahead and share the screen here.
So I started on May 7th. So I've just been here for the bulk of the quarter, just a couple months of the quarter. But going to go over some highlights very quickly over the last couple of months. Adriana is going to be driving for me today. So if you would go on ahead to the next slide, Adriana, please.
Let's see. I'm trying here. There we go.
All right. So for the team, we've got a small but mighty team. I come from an advertising sales background and sales leadership. I was with the Pikes Peak Workforce Center in Colorado Springs as the business relations manager. My teammate is Elizabeth Hoy. She comes from the construction industry in office support, in marketing, and in human resources support. Next slide. So we do, for our employer outreach, we identify and connect with regional businesses. Since I've been here, we've engaged with over 40 companies to build those relationships. We do provide hiring needs analysis. I like that discovery call to be all about them initially, find out what's keeping employers up at night, see what they are doing with the recruitment as far as what's successful, what is not successful. Across the board in every industry, what's keeping them up is candidates. They're having difficulty finding candidates these days. We want to educate businesses on our offerings. There's a lot of businesses out there that are unsure of what we do. I find that some businesses feel that we're unemployment. We want to make sure that businesses gain an understanding of what it is we can do to help aid them in their hiring recruitment needs. We solidify those workforce partnerships. And of course, I present my OJT opportunity. So for business services execution, we are a full service department. We help create or even refine companies' job descriptions. Those CalJobs accounts are very important for businesses. We can create them on their behalf and post their open positions. That allows them to go in and search candidates on their own, make sure that those job opening flyers are distributed. We identify candidates and do phone interviews, which is very helpful. It's time consuming, so businesses certainly appreciate that help. We do have our job fairs, which we host and support businesses through. We also have an HR hotline, which launched on July 1st in conjunction with the California Employers Association. And it assists Orange County employers of every size, any size. It's absolutely free of charge with human resources support, anywhere from unemployment claims, which is a hot topic now for businesses and for job seekers alike, on employee discipline and termination, labor relations, leave of absences, things along those lines. So for our National Dislocated Worker Grant, just a refresher, the position criteria must be a minimum of $18 an hour rate of pay. It has to be commensurate with others in the same or similar role, must be an in-demand occupation or industry growth occupation. So manufacturing, healthcare, information technology, they will be the employer's employee, and we want them to have a long-term, one-year minimum position there. As far as the employer eligibility process, it's very robust. They must not have layoffs in the last 3 years, be up to date on their unemployment benefits, solvent, and not be disbarred from receiving any government funds. Little refresher. So currently in our OJT pipeline, we've got 5 employers with 15 positions available. For an alternative energy company, we have 5 positions ranging from $22 an hour to $85,000 a year. It's incredible for an on-the-job training with that rate of pay. We have a manufacturing company distribution at $19 an hour, contracting company 2 positions at $20 and $26 an hour, food and beverage $18 to $20 an hour, and 6 positions within an aerospace manufacturing company at $18 an hour. So candidate sourcing, we are doing what companies are trying to do, trying to identify people who are wanting to work, ready to work, wanting to show up to the interviews. We do receive feedback where people are saying, gosh, we get them and we've got interviews and then we've got a no call, no show. So we really want to make sure that the sourcing of our candidates is in line with what businesses are looking for. We do outreach to 972 WIOA enrolled adult, dislocated, and youth program participants, as well as our community partners and our service providers. The Business Solutions Department, my small but mighty team, we source those candidates, we review those resumes, qualify them, and I conduct phone screening. On July 2nd, we started a collaboration with other workforce boards outside of the Orange County region. So we present our OJT opportunities to them and they provide candidates to us. We've had excellent response so far. Everybody's excited to partner and we have received resumes for review. We've sourced 60 candidates and I've just got a snapshot there that shows a total of the number of positions that we have in the pipeline. 44 of those resumes were sourced from my team, Business Solutions, and then we've got our service providers. I do work a lot with Veep. So since this last week, Veep's actually brought over 3 more candidates for me for review, which is very exciting to work with my Veep team and work with veterans. So that's just a snapshot of how candidates are being sourced currently. For our hiring initiatives, we've had a partnership with Tesla and hiring stalled there. So we've re-engaged that relationship and identified 2 positions for potential OJTs as a solar installer and solar roofer. Their Orange County hiring is currently on hold until fall. They are trying to fill 2,700 positions in Northern California. So they've got Orange County on hold while they're focusing on that initiative. Also, we have a hiring initiative with Rivian, which is also an alternative fuel automobile company. They are looking to launch a 1-year paid program in conjunction with Rio Hondo College. So we would bring participants in, they'd be paid while they're going to school and simultaneously working at Rivian at $20 an hour. So they'd have internship status to begin with. And then as they move forward with the program, they would be moved into a permanent, still $20 an hour position within Rivian. The program would give them a certification that would apply towards an AA degree, so it's stackable. And upon completion of the program, they would receive the position as electric vehicle technician and have an opportunity to relocate at Rivian's expense to any of their offices around the country. The estimated time for launch has been set for spring of 2022. Simultaneously, we're working with Rivian to work with each of their business units. They've got recruitment divisions for each of their business units. So we're connecting with those recruitment partners for all of the business units at the organization as well. Looking ahead, we have a partnership in place with the Entertainment Mobile App that allows small businesses to connect with new and gain repeat customers, providing at no charge mobile app advertising. We had an orientation, a virtual orientation on July 13th. 32 businesses attended, 4 businesses registered as a result of that. We're pushing it forward for a live event for businesses on August the 12th. We'll also be doing a push for a small business outreach where we're sending an alert for 3,000 small businesses, providing those needs analysis and educating them on the business solutions offerings. We did apply for an OJT waiver that would reimburse businesses with less than 50 employees up to 90% of wages during that OJT training period. We're waiting for the award, but we wanted to make sure we were educating small businesses on our offerings prior to having the final word on that award. We've been talking about this job fair in person slated for September. I'm really excited about this. It's definitely a different experience when you have a job fair in person. We hear from candidates, if I could only get in front of a business, I'm sure I could get the job. So we're very excited to put candidates in front of businesses for our in-person job fair in September. I did want to share with you a success story that we had. And we are in contact with an aftermarket motorcycle parts manufacturer. I discussed our offerings and presented the OJTs. They were very excited. They had 3 positions that they wanted to work with us on OJTs, but unfortunately that $18 an hour wage was short of the wages they were paying, anywhere from $14.50 to $16 an hour for these positions. We talked about those competitive wages and what other companies are offering in our market and a livable wage to allow people to, you know, be able to survive in Orange County. We provided LMI wage information to this company, worked very closely with their HR contact who did an analysis and went in and recommended increase wage to the president. It was approved for all 3 positions to have wage increases across the entire organization at an initial investment for the company of $180,000. This will allow them to retain staff and be competitive. And I'm just absolutely thrilled that they'll be able to keep people who've been loyal to them. I found that they've had some employees that have been there for 20 years that needed this wage increase. So we were happy to enable people to be able to stay and the company to be competitive. I think that's it for me, Adriana.
Okay.
Are there any questions, comments, or feedback? Welcome, Rhonda.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What is the location of the job fair on 9/14?
That's our holdup. We're looking for that job fair location. We're reaching out to partners. I did have my date initially on there of September 14th, and unfortunately, we haven't been able to secure a position yet. So it's a bit of a slide on the date. We of course need plenty of preparation time, but we're ready to pull the trigger as soon as we have a location on it. Mm.
Annalisa, I want to highlight, Rhonda, can you go back to the screen for the referrals? So I want to remind this committee that, remember, Business Solutions wasn't in-house. And the strategy was to bring it in-house and for us to share it with our service providers, as well as our community partners. So that way, any of the employers that had openings, we could go not only in our network first, but go outside of our network to create employment opportunities so that we're providing services for business. I want to highlight this because when we start talking about the other committees and kind of what we're experiencing, I just want to highlight that we've created quite a few really good high-paying positions and offered them to all the participants in the one-stop centers and the youth programs, and we didn't get the feedback we thought we would get. So I just want to highlight this. So when you're talking about the engagement with employers and the positions and opportunities that are out there and why employers are or are not receiving qualified candidates or responses, we're experiencing the same thing. Rhonda shared with you that can you go back to the other page, Rhonda, one more page?
Which slide number?
Oh, I'm sorry, Adriana. Back to the page that lists all of the OJT she's created, these 15 positions that she's created. So she's created these 15 plus positions with these employers paying these wages, yet go back to the next screen, Adriana, that you were just on. You can see the response rate is fairly low for what she's been able to create and the pay that we're bringing to the table. So I just want to bring this to your attention so that when we look at the other meetings, the youth committee, the one-stop committee, and full board, keep all of this in mind that we're experiencing it too.
Annalisa, I have a question. Yeah. And on these exact slides, but so if I'm reading this correctly, though, we have 15 open positions and 60 potentially qualifiable candidates. The 60, or am I reading that slide right, or am I misinterpreting it?
Rhonda. So we sourced 60 candidates. We continue to source on a daily basis. Mind you, we're sourcing from WIOA candidates because my grant is paid for by WIOA. That's why we initially reach out to those WIOA enrolled dislocated adult and young adult candidates. So, excuse me. So yes, we have 60 candidates that have been sourced. 44 of those came from my team. So I've got my team fast and furiously looking through resumes. We get them down our pipeline, contact them to make sure that they're still, that they might even be interested in this position, send over the job description. This is just the process of how it's working. Send over the job description, and then I phone interview them. I have an opportunity with my relationship with the businesses to be able to ask them, what does your ideal candidate look like? It's great for me to be able to get on the phone and have certain nuances with my relationship with the business to be able to find the perfect candidate for them. Not everybody that I phone screen gets moved forward to have an interview with the business.
Yeah, so sorry. All right. So then the 60 source is not 60 vetted. That means of the 972 people, only 60 actually responded.
Identified, correct. Source and identified.
Right. And then you now have to vet the 60 candidates to fill those 15 jobs.
That's correct.
And has that process started?
Oh, certainly. Okay. On Friday, I sent over for my alternative energy company. I sent over three resumes. They're thrilled. They want to see all three. Two of them were for that $85,000 a year accountant job. I mean, it's unheard of. That type of position will, even any of these positions are going to be life-changing for people. When we're talking $26, $28 an hour, to be able to put somebody in an OJT, it's life-changing. So yes, the answer is yes. Also on Friday, we've had for the construction company, we've had a candidate move forward to final interview. I have two more in front of them to move forward for interviews as well. And we are just, it's a constant process where we are nonstop identifying, going through this process, contacting and phone screening and submitting until they are hired. Yesterday, I went over to the manufacturing distribution company. I'm very excited about this, to do my site check. We have an OJT identified for a participant there who's supposed to start on Thursday. So that contract should be signed before Thursday, and that will be our first solid OJT in motion.
Wonderful, thank you. And then so then to Karma's point, do we know why I guess that there's 910 people who are kind of potentially enrolled in our programs who I guess aren't participating in them?
Well, we have the job descriptions, right? So while we go ahead and send out and blast out the OJT opportunity to these participants, not all of them are going to be applicable. But we do get a lot back who say, I'm interested in a job, but not this job. You know, I have this background. I have an office worker background. I have something that's not a fit. And I'm certainly not going to move someone forward with a background that's not going to be fit for pipeline construction. So it's just trying to find people who have adjacent skills or who have, for instance, I had a candidate for the accounting role who had an opportunity to, during the pandemic, to take a look and reassess and say, what do I really want to do when I grow up, right? So they went and took accounting classes, but they didn't have any practical experience working in that world. So we were able to have conversations with that person without that practical experience, who is a perfect candidate for a bookkeeping position that we are talking with another employer about. So we identify the candidates, and we identify candidates that have similar skills, backgrounds, something that can be enhanced with an on-the-job training. I talk a lot with my hands. Sorry.
So then the more employers we can get through on-the-job training, the more variety of occupations that are available, and then it would connect naturally with this 972 people better.
100%. Plus, that's the exact very similar theory to the businesses that we have at our job fairs. We try to have a variety of businesses at the job fair because you have such a range of what candidates are looking for, want to be involved in. You know, one of the businesses that's a repeat job fair participant is in the food industry. And I'd love to be able, they have 300 positions open, and I would love to be able to OJT with her, but unfortunately I can't on the job training a chef. It's just not something we can do. So that's some of the challenges that we're looking for. Don't forget, I have to make sure that they are in an in-demand occupation, right? So we have to do our due diligence to ensure that this is an opportunity for growth, that they'll be gaining skills that they can have now during this year minimum on this job and then take with them into their next role and their next role. So that skills gap has got to be fulfilled. Yes.
I want to interject real quick, Jesse, because I heard what you said. So what you said is that the 972 positions, the theory is the more OJTs, the more opportunities I'll have for the 972. I want to also highlight something that we are doing in addition to reaching out to all the participants that are in our pipeline. We are also coordinating efforts with LA County, San Diego County, Riverside County, and basically all the counties surrounding us and offering our OJT opportunities to them as well. Because we understand that where I may not have an accountant that's ready for this opportunity, they might. And in talking to the state, we can share that performance, meaning that if I have an OJT opportunity and San Diego has the accountant, they can enroll their accountant to my OJT and we both get credit for that performance. So we're not just staying in Orange County with some of these OJT opportunities, because our goal on the business solution side is to provide solutions to the business. I'm not going to tell a business that's engaging with us, well, I don't have it in Orange County, that's it. We're going outside of that. And that's something very strategic that we just recently implemented, that the other workforce boards that we reached out to were excited about it. And we're getting referrals from those other partner workforce development boards. So Santa Ana, Anaheim, LA, San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino are all, we're touching them too, because if they have a candidate that's willing to drive to Orange County for this opportunity, we want to make it available to them too. So we will continue to create OJT opportunities, but I just want to be very transparent in saying that I'm not limiting it just to the people that's in our pipeline.
No, I think that's a great idea. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Karma. That was that's that third bullet there. So I appreciate that.
I'm curious to know, with regard to the 972 per program participants, do we have any demographic information about them, particularly as to what are their skill sets? What types of jobs are they looking for? Because we basically are playing matchmaker, right? So we need to understand what's on this side and what's on that side. Because we've got businesses who are participating. Who are the 972? Do we have any data about them?
We do. Rhonda, you can go ahead and chime in.
Sorry. We do. The data that we have available to us is what is input into CalJobs. Okay. So if it's been asked and answered and input into CalJobs, we do have that information as far as what industry are you looking to? What would you like to do? What would your ideal position be? And it is, there's some of it that we can pull, but a lot of it it's very manual. When we find those candidates, we have to sort through them and we have to look for that data. We've discovered that not all of the resumes for these people have been uploaded into CalJobs. If they were uploaded into CalJobs, they're not in the correct resume spot. Since that's been identified, we're working to try to get that changed. So we have limited amounts of data, and if it's there, we find it. And that helps. The resume is huge, so that we can get a look at the resumes. We've discovered based on resumes, people who are veterans that we wouldn't have known if we didn't have access to that resume.
And do we have any sense as to whether the 972 participants and what they're looking for align with the participants on the business side who are engaging with us on the job fairs? Is there a match there? I'm just asking the same question a different way, I guess.
Right. And I'll answer it slightly differently. So for us, you know, that 972 is going to change Every time we run that in that some people will be enrolled and some people will drop out or the exit. So when we, every time we have an OJT, we do an updated list of folks there. And it is very manual. You have to physically go in, pull the resumes, find the industries. We're streamlining it as much as possible on my team. Unfortunately, we're not case managers, so we don't have access to detailed information other than what's inside of CalJobs.
Okay.
Rhonda, this is Terry. I believe you mentioned earlier on in your presentation about the no-shows, those individuals who do not show up for their interviews. And I know that we're in the process of trying to expand the business partners among us, but there's nothing worse than leaving a bad taste in an employer's mouth and having no shows, you know, right. And you know, furthermore, the fact that they have to trust an outside entity to help coordinate, you know, the sourcing of candidates. So is there anything that can be done, or maybe you've already implemented something to help ensure that these individuals who are sourced and referred to the employers actually show up?
So let me be clear. I apologize. Mm-hmm. The people who are not showing are not sourced from us.
Okay.
People who are not showing are businesses are giving us that feedback where they're saying, can you help me hire? Because, you know, I'm trying, they've identified people or they've run an ad. And they will book an interview and people don't show. And so I say to them, okay, well, let's talk about this now. What's your rate of pay? What are the job responsibilities? I find so many businesses these days, come on, we've all experienced it, where you are asking a candidate to do the job of multiple people. So you've got a job description that's all over the map, that's got all of these things that are involved in it. So, I mean, we have conversations like, do you really need that degree? Because if you're requiring a degree on your job description, you're going to lose out on a number of candidates who have the capability to do that position, but they might not have that degree. And they automatically say, I can't check that box, so I'm going to move on. So there's a lot of things we have to discuss for flexibility with employers to say, let's really get down to the nuts and bolts of what you want for this business. And let's get down to the nuts and bolts of what you want with a candidate. Where are you willing to give a little bit here or there? So the candidates that we send over to businesses have been vetted thoroughly by me. As I mentioned before, you know, there have been candidates that I phone interviewed that I will not move forward. Especially a candidate that's not there when I call them at my specific time. If I'm going to call you or you're a no-show for my interview, you're going to be a no-show for my business. And I'm not going to attach a candidate I'm not confident with my reputation, Business Solutions, or this workforce board.
Right. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your approach by looking at the job and removing those unnecessary barriers like a college degree. I mean, for many of these jobs, college degrees are not needed necessarily. So it sounds like you're honing in on what do you really need.
Right.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I still want to know what's going to compel someone to not show up, just to get in the head of.
Well, I mean, I think there's a number of things, right? I think there's a lot of opportunity out there right now. Karma, I'm sorry if I'm diving right in.
Okay. You got it.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity out there. And when I try to explain to businesses, and this is what I explained to that motorcycle aftermarket manufacturer, when you are seeing in the media where you have organizations and companies like Chipotle, for instance, I love to use Chipotle, who have opportunities for people to start at $18 an hour, unskilled labor, and they're in a service industry, it's really hard to compete with that, right? So there's a competitive aspect of it. You also have candidates who are in a position that they've never had before, right? Can you imagine being a candidate that has an opportunity to understand What do I want to do? What can I do? What they've never had an opportunity to have questions like that addressed to them before is what do I want to be? What can I do? Because there's more opportunity now than ever. People have had a chance to step back. You see in the media where it's encouraged for people to have that self-care, to take their time to gain an understanding of it. That I can appreciate it. We've got a lot of candidates who are still doing career exploration when they get on the phone with me about an OJT. And if they're not ready and they're not committed to the position that I have in front of me, I do not want to put them in front of my employer, because if they fall out of an OJT, it's not successful for the workforce board, it's not successful for that candidate or that employer, and the state doesn't like it and neither does the federal government. So we're very confident in what we're sending.
Annalisa, I also shared an article with the board about reasons why people are not returning back to work. Some of it is childcare. Some of it is basically this is your second chance at a new career, right? And then there's still the pandemic concerns and people still collecting unemployment. So in that article, it kind of addressed all of those things as being reasons why employers are having a hard time. Like Rhonda said, I'm seeing employers, like I saw an article where I think it was like a KFC that's paying teenagers $50,000 a year to become managers because they can't find adults to manage the KFC restaurants anymore. So that's what we're seeing right now. They're really competitive wages right now. So where someone may have needed a job, they can take their time because it seems it's plentiful and wait for the higher dollar. So keep that in mind. If you didn't get that article, I can resend it to everyone. But I thought it was a very interesting article and it kind of matched what we were seeing.
Yeah, so it's definitely an employee economy, correct? And plus the culture of employees have definitely evolved, especially as you get into the millennials and the Gen Zs. The demands are different than they were in prior generations. Correct. So what are the businesses doing? What are they doing at this point? I heard you, Rhonda, say earlier that you talked to them about what keeps them up at night. Yes. And I suppose labor shortage is one. How would they respond? What are they doing besides offering teenagers, which is good for them? Whoever's skilled gets the opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. For me, it's an opportunity to talk with them about on-the-job training, right? Because we have a chance to take skilled and unskilled candidates and place them in an opportunity where they can actually learn on the job. This alternative fuel company, their solution was to provide a very robust training program that's required for all of their employees to go through. We're also, I don't want to do any spoilers, but there's an opportunity for us moving forward that's on our radar for apprenticeship programs and for an incumbent training program, which is an opportunity to potentially take. Companies are looking now at their existing employees, how they can train them up and then put somebody else in, you know, put another employee in to backfill that position. There's a lot of ways to try and get creative. It's unfortunate that this job fair situation is virtual is great. And we've had to utilize that for obvious circumstances, but the experience to be able to get your eyes on each other for an employer to be able to see that candidate back and forth. And, you know, I've had a company I was talking to about an on-the-job training in the IT world. And he said, I hired someone who had absolutely nothing to do with IT. It's for a call center. He was a psychology major and just decided that wasn't what he wanted to do. It's the best employee I've ever had, most loyal. So they are actually having to now go outside of that lane that they're used to staying in. This is the employee that we want. This is the background that they have to have. And they're having to be a little bit more, you know, lateral with their thinking and with their consideration of people. If you've got strong folks inside to train, then you can be committed to that employee, if they're committed to you, of course, and really have yourself a great team member to put that effort into.
Well, it's good to hear that employers, whether they like it or not, are beginning to hire for talent. That's a good way to go.
And to keep their talent, keep the ones that you have that have been loyal too, train them up.
Right. Now, I don't know if we've covered items A, B, and C in your report. Have those been covered or do we need to go through 6B and 6C as well?
Well, I'm 6B and 6C. The one-stop mobile unit is on deck, right?
So we're not doing that today.
We're not. Oh, my apologies.
So your B and C has been covered.
Okay. Not to belabor that, but is there anything that this body can do to support your work at this point? That's kind of what we're here for.
I'm so thrilled that you would ask. I heard somebody has 300 positions open. Can I help? I mean, that's what I'm here for. Let's talk afterwards. Look, for me, I want to be out in the field. I want to be in front of businesses. That education aspect is critically important. As I said, they're not really sure what we do, or they think that we're not doing, we're unemployment or something along those lines. I want to be out. I'm very passionate. You can tell. Get me out in the field and let me be in front of people to educate them. Connect me with folks. Okay. I'll take it from there. We do the heavy lifting. I have a very responsive director who knows what my needs are and where we're looking for support in this department. We've done a lot with just two of us. So moving forward, I think it's just great things to come, but I would appreciate any entrees to businesses, anywhere I can be a fit, any folks that you know that need help hiring, please connect me with them.
So what I'm hearing are introductions.
Yeah? Great.
Okay.
One more thing, Karma and Rhonda, about kind of that collateral, that sleek kind of one sheet or fact sheet, is that being produced? Is that already available? Because that could help, because right, to get into what it is, it just, people's eyes would gloss over, but if there was a quick hit sheet, that would be helpful as well when making those introductions.
We do. So two things. One, Rhonda has an OJT sheet that's currently with PIO getting approval. And then two, we still have the outsourced third party marketing company that at our full board meeting will do a presentation, but we're making progress with that, where she can start, hopefully at this board meeting, we can get some materials approved so that she can start making the collateral based off of this board's approval of kind of a name and branding.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, let's move on to item 7, OCWDB CID Staff Business Solutions Support Updates. Item A, Business and Economic Recovery Call Center.
I'm going to turn it over to Nancy to give you guys an update on the Economic Recovery Call Center. Nancy?
Hi, good morning, everybody. I just have a quick update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. So to date, over 18,559 clients have been assisted through the call center. So between April 1st and June 30th, there was a total of 1,878 calls. And just to break it down a little bit further, we had 453 business calls, 1,281 job seeker calls, and 144 community calls. So we just started collecting that data last quarter, so hopefully we can provide more insight. Does anybody have any questions regarding those numbers?
What are they calling about the job seekers? I don't want to assume, so.
Of course, so a lot of it would be like the one-stop center, the WIOA program, any flyers that were getting sent out. We're still getting calls about unemployment benefits and so forth. And some of it is also outreach. So when we do have job fairs, we are calling previous job fair participants to see if they would like to participate in any upcoming job fairs as well. So that's pretty much the bulk of it. That's what we're getting a lot from job seekers. And then like for the businesses, it would be same thing. So like the job fair, any grants, and then we're also actually getting a lot of calls for like hiring assistance. So we do send them over to Rhonda, and Rhonda's able to help them out from there as well.
Okay. Any questions, comments, feedback about the call center? All right, let's move on to item B, rapid response WARN notices.
I'm going to turn it over to Brynn Hernandez.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I will be giving the rapid response and WARN notice update for quarter four. So during quarter four, we received a total of 8 WARN notifications and updates. Of those 8 notifications received, 5 of them were for the manufacturing industry. And then during quarter four, there were a total of 749 employees that were affected. All of those employees were affected by permanent layoffs. Approximately 69% of those permanent layoffs were as a result of a facility closure. And a majority of those laid off employees were from both the manufacturing and retail industries. During quarter four, we continue to offer our weekly rapid response webinars on Wednesdays via Zoom. And the webinar information was shared with employers during our outreach after the WARN notification was received. And the webinar information was also posted on Eventbrite for individuals from the public to be able to join as well. And then during quarter four, we were asked by four separate employers to host individual rapid response presentations for their employees that were being impacted by layoffs. Three of the presentations that we hosted were virtual, and they included Schreiber Foods on April 15th, General Monitors on April 20th, and Spartronics on June 16th. In addition to those three virtual webinars, we held our first in-person presentation in over a year, and that took place at RICO USA's facility in Tustin. We took our mobile unit out to the location, and we held four presentations throughout the day for the employees that would be facing layoffs. And during these presentations, we continued to partner with EDD's Unemployment Insurance, EDD's Workforce Services Branch, Apex Financial Services Group, and then of course, we offered our presentation for Orange County as well. And I am available to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Are there any questions, comments, or feedback? The closures that took place during the last quarter, is that because they're relocating or are they just shutting down?
It's a combination of both. The actual location or, you know, the company was going out of business. Some are relocating to another area. It was really a combination of both. Mm-hmm. Some may have been like a division within the organization and they decided to close that division. So the location was closing because it was specific to that division.
How many people again did you say were impacted?
So there were a total of 749, and then 516 of those were as a result of the location closures. So about 69% of the total amount were due to closures.
So of the 700 or the 500, help me understand the process, do they now end up in the program participants of the 972 that we talked about earlier? Okay, Karma, shake your hand.
Not necessarily. So what happens, Brent, along with EDD, does a presentation to all of those employees. They ask employers to invite their employees to sit for a rapid response presentation. And so during the presentation, Brent goes over the one-stop center and all of the resources available to them should they decide to sign up or visit the one-stop center. EDD goes over unemployment information and how to register and apply. Then there's usually someone there to give them financial literacy information, meaning what happens to your 401k or your pension with this layoff, right? So they're provided with information and tools or resources that they can use. It's up to the individual to decide to use the one-stop center. So after that, they can sign up to go to the one-stop center, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they automatically run, they fall into the 972, because for a lot of them, they're taking time off or they decided they want to do something different. In the future, what we want to try to do when the world opens up is to try to coordinate rapid rehiring, meaning, for example, let's say it's an employer that offers, maybe they're, accountants. We're going to try to coordinate with another organization that may be doing mass hiring, so that way we can get those people rapidly rehired and maybe even bypass the one-stop system, meaning that they're not going to necessarily fully enroll in WIOA, or they may not enroll in WIOA, but they've gotten hired quickly by someone else. So that's a strategy that we'll try to do in the future should we have those opportunities available. Right now it's really hard to do with the world technically still not quite open. It's really difficult to coordinate that, and they're still not required to give us the 60-day notice anymore. So in some cases, we're still getting short notice of a WARN. In the past, they were required to give us a 60-day notice where we could coordinate events like that. It's not required just yet that they do that again.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you for that. And I think that's a great strategy. Get them funneled through to another journey. Any comments, questions, or feedback regarding item 7B? All right, hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to item 7C, SEDS overview.
I'm gonna turn it over to Annette Kelly Whittle, to give you an update on our regional initiatives and our SEDS.
Good morning, everyone. So Karma mentioned earlier that we started having industry sector strategy work groups, which includes the three workforce development boards, the chambers of commerce, and business serving organizations, basically, and our community colleges. So we've had two meetings so far, and we have a third one that's coming up on August the 11th. This is going to be the last meeting that we have. The work group has basically come together to identify a model that we want to use to engage businesses in the Orange County area, how we would want to do that collectively. All of us are kind of tasked with serving businesses in one way or the other. And right now we're just really trying to figure out how we can align forces so that we can, one, have one messaging when we go to the businesses, that we're not taxing the businesses with a bunch of different asks from a bunch of different organizations, and that we could kind of maybe come together, have an ask, engage these businesses, and really identify how we can work in a partnership together that is beneficial to both sides, those that are on workforce development side and those businesses also. So once we have this last meeting, hopefully we have a model that we're going to use to move forward to engage businesses, also identify one of the industry sectors that we want to start moving forward in. So it would be either manufacturing, healthcare, hospitality and tourism, or information technology. So probably really looking at, you know, where is there already traction in some industry engagement within the Orange County area that will allow us to kind of leverage that and to get one of these industry sector partnerships up and going. Once we get one going strong, then we will start to kind of look at the other industry sectors and identify another one to kind of launch also. So that's where we are at on that. For regional work as a whole, the governor's budget included $25 million in general fund spending over a five-year period for regional equity and recovery partnerships. So in the past, the regional efforts have been funded under the Slingshot program, which is part of the general fund funding under the state. And it goes through the California Workforce Development Board, basically. So there's been four Slingshots currently. We're at Slingshot 4.0. So this changes how they're going to do things moving forward. It's going to be funded under this comeback plan, basically. And they are requiring that the Workforce Development Boards partner with the community colleges to identify basically regional equity and recovery plan. And as a part of this, they're asking that we take a high road approach, that there are quality jobs that build pathways to those jobs in close partnership with multiple employers and target industries, that we connect with workers from disadvantaged communities and those most impacted by COVID-19, and that we integrate community college priorities, such as their industry value credentials, digital literacy, credit for prior learning and work-based learning, and then fund earn and learn strategies, such as apprenticeships, counseling and mentoring, supportive services, income supports, and placement activities and quality jobs. And so basically the eligible applicants for this funding is going to be the workforce boards, but we have to bring together the other stakeholders that collaborate within the regional planning unit. So even the industry sector work that we're doing kind of builds upon what this a proposal that we're going to have to submit under this regional equity and recovery partnership plan. In addition, you know, the chancellor's office, they have released the RFP for regional collaboration and coordination for the community colleges. So it all ties in together of what the community colleges have to do. So they're going to be regionally organized community colleges for the broad-based approach to post-pandemic workforce recovery. Orange County will be its own region. And so LAOCRC is working on that grant application to submit that. And they are going to separate the Los Angeles and Orange County as before they have gone in together. So these initiatives, they pretty much lay the groundwork for the high road economic recovery and resiliency within industry sectors and regions. And so it's just imperative right now that we lay this foundation of really strengthening how we work together, not only with our community partners, such as the community colleges and business serving organizations, but also the businesses that we serve in the county. And then as for the SEDS, so we have engaged in conversation again with LAOCRC, Jesse Creed, who's now taken over the position for Gustavo. We've had one meeting with her and her supervisor, Adrian Davis. So we are going to see, you know, collectively how we can move the SEDS forward, and as well as try to identify if there's a project that we want to put forward to Economic Development Department and roll the SEDS project into that. So any questions?
Are there any comments, questions, or feedback? Okay, thank you so much, Annette. Hearing none, let's go ahead and proceed to item 8, Business Solutions Staff Training.
So with Tamiko being hired, and today is her first day, she's actually at orientation with the county. I just wanted to highlight that there is training that we have in preparation for Tamiko starting and for the whole Business Solutions Department. I'm just going to share my screen with you real quick just so you guys can see the overview of the training that will be offered and the dates. Remember, we hired Angela Gardner, which you've met a couple of meetings ago. She did a brief presentation on what she plans to deliver and how she plans on supporting our Business Solutions Department and just kind of moving the work forward and ensuring that we're set up for success. So are you able to see my screen? Does it have the training calendar on there? Because I've had the
Yes.
I had a bad experience with that once. So this is the training schedule she has. So training will begin on August 13th and should end on November 16th. They will all be recorded. I encourage members of the board, if you want to participate, I can send you an invitation so that you can sit in and listen to how the staff is being trained. Not only will Tamiko Thomas participate in the training, but our call center will participate in the training, as well as Bryn Hernandez and Rhonda Miller and her team. We want to ensure that everybody's on the same page, that the expectations are set. And like I said, the department is being set up for success. Unfortunately, Angela couldn't be here today. She's on vacation. So that is why I'm providing you with her training calendar. Any questions or concerns about anything she's presenting or going over? I want to also highlight that not only will my team be trained, we are going to hire a third party to train our service providers on connecting with business as well. I think that from experience, we're learning that there might need to be some technical assistance training. So we are in the process of engaging with a third party to establish training for our one-stop center and our youth provider.
Any comments, questions, or feedback regarding item 8? All right, hearing none, let's go ahead and move forward to item 9, and then we'll open it up to discussion, feedback, brainstorm. Grant matrix.
Okay, I'm gonna turn it over to Erin to go over our grant matrix.
Did you need me to pull that up for you, Erin?
I have it up already, so I can that unless the committee wants to see it.
Well, we do want to share it. So Adriana, can you put it on screen?
Okay. Do you see it there?
Yes.
We can see it. All right, so some of the changes that are some of the updates from the last, from this last quarter were, you'll see number one was STEPS, that grant was renewed for this next fiscal year. So we will be continuing that, that program. Again, that's a project that focuses on students with disabilities and providing work training and paid work experience. And Goodwill continues to be our service provider for that program. The other programs that you have listed, VEEP, is continuing us again, the Veterans Initiative. We currently have two regional grants that we are working under, and that supports a lot of the activities that Annette focuses on and her support. We have one COVID grant that continues. Again, that's the OJT grant that Rhonda administers. AB 1111 continues. That's also targets adults with disabilities and providing training for them. And prison to employment continues as well. Again, Santa Ana takes the lead on that one. So, but regionally that is continuing. One, you can see at the bottom, grant, we are going to be submitting a dislocated worker grant to Department of Labor that the goal is to submit that application this week. It's due by the end of the month. We hope to submit it this week to DOL. Right now, so that's the current grants that we have going. Any questions?
Yeah, this is just so Carmen. It's a different committee that kind of where you kind of have the KPIs and the deliverables, correct, for all these grants.
Yes. So depending on if we're awarded, then we go over, if we are awarded, then we present it to those committees. So for example, VEEP will be presented to the one-stop committee for performance and review. If we're granted this $3 million CARES, it will be, again, the one-stop committee because it's more about providing services to dislocated workers and there's performance metrics tied to that. So it depends on what we went after to what committee actually reviews or would oversee it. At this point in time, we haven't had any business services related grants, but if there are any, then it would go in front of this committee.
Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
But as a policy, are we going to then, regardless of what committee the proposal or the contract ends up in, will there be that sense of tying the KPIs to being able to draw down funding?
I don't think I understand what you mean by that, because I can't go after any grant unless the Board of Supervisors permits it. Let me make sure I understand what
you're saying. So I think it might've been two or three meetings ago, we talked about how, if at all, do we ensure that the awardees for the service providers essentially who execute on these contracts are able to get tied to a key performance indicator in order to draw down funding. To ensure that performance is where we want it to be.
Yeah, so that's a trick question. So let's use this career planning grant as an example, right? So the funder of this, which is DOL, will give us performance metrics, right? And we pass those down to the service providers if we do it with a service provider. But this particular grant, to be perfectly honest, I'm not writing it with a service provider, I'm doing it in-house. And the reason why is because we have service providers in place right now that's supposed to be serving dislocated workers, and we may not be receiving the outcomes that we wanted, right? Whereas we do this with a different partner, with it written into the grant proposal, what the deliverables will be and what our performance will be, then we pass that down to the partner that we wrote the grant with. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Okay.
So it's a little different from our formula funds. So our formula funds, absolutely, that is the plan for formula funds, to try to match the formula funds with performance. But when we go after grants, we're held to our proposals we submitted to DOL or whoever the funding source is. And if we write it with partners, then our partners are going to be required to meet the obligations that they agreed to when we wrote the grant and awarded on that base, the basis that we submitted to the funder. Mm-hmm. Is that how that?
I'm with you. Okay. Any questions or comments about item 9 grant matrix? All right. Well, hearing none, let's go ahead and thank you to the team for your reports. Thoroughly appreciate your detailed orientedness. Let's go ahead and move to item 10, open discussion. This is where we, and this is a fairly new agenda item. The idea behind this is to open it up to committee members and certainly to the staff to discuss items, ideas, thoughts, questions that might not have already been covered on the agenda. And again, the purpose, I believe when we started doing this, is to answer the question, what more can we do to help? We meaning the committee members, but in partnership with the staff.
Well, I have an ask. So we have projects that are out right now. The HR hotline, where it's a free service to all Orange County businesses, where they can call at 1-800 number and ask HR questions. Interesting enough, we're not getting a lot of companies that are calling in, and I don't know, it's our outreach. I'm not sure why not, because in my head, I would think that a lot of companies, given the COVID uncertainty, would utilize this. So if there is a way for you guys to share this with your network, that we do have this free service available to all Orange County businesses, that would be helpful, because we've made an investment in the community, but we're not getting a lot of people utilizing that investment. So what I can do is resend out that flyer. So not only do they have the hotline, but there's also webinars that this group presents on different topics. If there's a topic that you think that we should present, let us know. So anything that you think would benefit HR, or not, excuse me, anything HR related that would benefit employers in Orange County, we'd love to hear what you'd like for them to present, and then we can ask them to do that.
Great. So I'm hearing that there are a lot of services. It's such a robust board. And this might already be in existence. I'm always thinking about products and items in terms of a menu, right? And there's a la carte and there's like the full service. Do we have a listing of all of these services on a one pager back to front that basically communicates to the reader, these are the things that this board does in the County of Orange?
Not for the board. However, good question. So Jess Benron asked me for a menu of services in terms of kind of what Rhonda and Tamiko offer, right? In terms of the board, I can ask the third party marketing firm, which that is part of her assignment, is to give you guys something where you can share with the community that this is, I'm on this board and this is what we do. So they are supposed to develop that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other part of that question or ask or sentence is it appears as though there is that opportunity to still get the word out and the story and the offerings and the opportunities. And as we're working with a third party marketing firm, is there anything more that we can do besides connecting and forwarding flyers? For example, is there a story that can be developed and put in the media about success stories? Are there success stories that we can share and therefore develop something out of it in a way that is digestible and, and relatable and that makes somebody go, "Whoa, that's interesting. I'm going to do that." Has that been part of the consideration of the team that we hired and outsourced it to?
Yes. So one of the things that the marketing firm wanted was our success story so they could help us with I forgot what they call it. I think it's called an informational, where you actually put an article in a paper that looks like a story, right? But it's really an advertisement, right? Yeah. So they're supposed to develop that for us. But again, it's tied to the whole branding strategy.
Okay. Any other comments, thoughts, ideas, questions, jokes, anything? Going once, going twice. Okay, I'm just going to do a quick round robin just to call everybody out who's on the call to see if there's anything else that they want to share. Carlos, Oregon, is there anything you would like to share? Any comments, thoughts, feedback before we wrap up?
No, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I have OCCS. Not sure who's tied to that line.
That's the administrator. That's Jenna.
Jenna, anything that you want to share? Comments, thoughts, feedback?
No, thank you.
Okay. Kathy Boyd.
I'm relatively new, so I'm just kind of absorbing a lot of it. I just want to thank you for the information that was shared today. I'm really potentially interested in that training that's coming up to see a little bit more and learn a little bit more. I love that you guys are working with marketing and branding type of work. I think that that's half the game. Jesse and I just realized that we made a connection with a third party just because of the marketing and branding through LinkedIn. So I think that that'll generate some new energy around that, but nothing else. Thank you.
Awesome. Do we have a sense of when the marketing pieces will be available for us, Karma?
Good question. So I'm not supposed to talk about it because we're the rules, right? But there is a voting that will take place at the full board meeting, and I'm just going to leave that there.
There's a what now that's happening?
There's
a voting?
A vote request. And so okay. I just want to leave it there so we're not talking about it too much.
Okay.
So yes and no.
We'll hold our breath. Okay. Mike Daniel?
Yeah, one, thank you. This is the first meeting I've attended. And I love kind of where everybody's coming from. The one piece I know that we're helping push out any business throughout Orange County, really throughout California, that had to do, had an employee take paid family leave act is entitled to a $500 grant. And so that's being pushed out by one of our SBDCs. So I think there's a lot of ways to kind of package this in a different way where there's all these opportunities I think businesses just don't know. I'd love to kind of work with you guys on some of that and maybe pass that information out that could lead to other things. Maybe it's like a one-piece flyer that just talks about a lot of different opportunities.
Thank you. Larae?
I really appreciate the presentation by Rhonda Miller, and I have followed up with her with an email so that maybe we can partner together on some ideas for those 300 jobs that we have available currently.
Go 300. Jesse Benron.
Nothing much more. I think, Annalisa, your idea about, again, getting more media, because I think when you think about even the business council, the chambers and SBDC, you know, we still only represent like a super small fraction of the, again, I think there's like 125,000 businesses in Orange County. So I guess people are getting their information from a variety of sources. So of course, like, I think we're going to do what we can with our network and our e-news and all that stuff, but there are clearly a lot of businesses and eyeballs elsewhere. Let's also think about, you know, other language media outlets in Orange County, if they're considering that as well, because, you know, even if you have it in the Register or the Orange County Business Journal, if you're a Spanish speaker, Vietnamese speaker, you're probably not looking at those sources, and those companies could very much use the resources as well. So that's probably my final thoughts.
That's a really good point. Okay. Adriana?
No comment. Thank you.
Karma?
I think I'm really excited about this committee and where it's going. I really appreciate everyone's feedback and helping us figure this out. I really do appreciate this board becoming a working board and guiding us. You're right, we have some challenges ahead of us, but I do believe that we're moving in the right direction. If there is any ideas of things that you think we should implement, I will try to see if it's available in the law to see if we can do it. So if there's resources that you think businesses need, please, I have an ear for it. I may or may not be able to do it, but I will definitely hear you and try to figure out how can we as a board introduce that to the public. So by all means, bring the ideals, Jespin, Ron, Lorraine, all of you guys, please continue to give us OJT referrals. If you guys in your companies, if you have the ability to create an OJT, please connect with us so that we can develop that OJT opportunity for job seekers in our workforce area. But I just want to thank you all. I think I'm super excited where we're going.
Awesome. And as you were saying that, I just had an idea here. Would it be possible and would it be allowed to host a, not an informal, but sort of a mixer thing that has a program while the marketing pieces are being developed? Because I always believe that time is always of the essence, right? Make more money again, make more time. What do we do? If they don't come to us, how do we go to them? Do we invite the top 25 employers and bring their HR people and stick them in a room and bring some punch and lemonade or whatever and have a short program and just get it out all at once?
See who shows up. I've actually seen that done. So possible. So now when we say a mixer and we say refreshments, we'll have to kind of find ways in the rules for that. Yes. I've seen that done before, and I've actually done it with my previous workforce development board during our open house week. We opened up our facilities for businesses to come in. We had someone come out as a speaker, talk about the economy, and then we talked about our workforce system and how businesses connect with us. So I've actually seen that done. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Okay. We just need coordination and support.
Okay. And I think I heard you say earlier that y'all are working on an open house type of situation.
We are late September, early October. So we are. And so maybe we can tie this in with that. We want to bring people over to the Garden Grove One Stop Center to actually see it. So we could possibly tie it with the One Stop Center. That way we didn't have to pay for facility because it's actually in our building. Just coordinating it, maybe a lunch. I don't know, but yeah. There's a lot of different options we have. So what we can do, Annalisa, if you want to be a part of that plan or kind of throw out some ideas, certainly have a meeting with you and anyone else to kind of help us with what do you want to do for business services. I don't know if you guys want to provide an ad hoc committee. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's an opportunity. There's an ask if anyone here is interested in participating on the planning side of an open house that's currently tentatively scheduled for end of September, early October, and getting the people to where we need them to go, the businesses that is, please reach out to Karma. I'll speak with you offline as well.
Okay.
Let's get them here because you're here. Let's just need them in one room. Okay, so reach out if you want to be part of that group. I don't think we need to formalize it at this point. I think whoever wants to participate, go ahead and reach out to Karma. All right, well, it's 10:44 right now, so I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this quarter's meeting. Thank you all for your time, your attention, and your support and ideas. And in the interim, feel free again to reach out to Karma or anybody else on the team if you have any other questions or thoughts. Thank you all, and meeting is adjourned at 10:44.
Thank you. Bye.